just spotted an email that I may have had to respond to earlier than this very moment. And as it's an email which appears to be an interview regarding my use of the iPhone in particular, not just mobile phones, I thought, well, why don't I respond to that interview in an audio book recorded via the iPhone? Nothing to do with me being lazy. End of the night, a few drinks with dinner. Could do with an early night because I've got to get up super early. So I'll just answer these questions off the cuff without too much thought, because that would require effort as well. And it's more truthful that way, obviously. First question, what do you primarily use the iPhone for in a work sense? Well, if I am not using the iPhone for documenting in particular, which is something I do like to do, I'm still using it every day. My calendar sync, its mapping technology is my kind of first GPS choice. If I'm in the car, obviously I tend to have a normal GPS just because I don't want to suck the battery life out of the iPhone or pay 60 quid for an app so that I can use good turn by turn. I know there are options out there, but primarily the iPhone is my kind of go-to tool for most things. If I'm being hired to document or amplify and share stuff, I tend to have a pro-ish camera with me, although less. I can't remember the last time I actually took my Nikon D3 out because of the amount of times I'm using the iPhone. For me, being primarily a photographer, the camera, even at 5 megapixels, which is more than enough to adorn the front page of a magazine, so on and so forth, it's still not quite there, and it's more about the latitude that, you know, that it could capture, you know, getting good depths of field, low light, all these kind of things are really important. Yet, using certain apps to make your photos artistic, i.e. Hipstamatic, and so on and so forth, I found myself documenting entire events or conferences or festivals. I think the trick is, though, in order to stop Hipstamatic becoming the Comic Sans of photography, you need to stick with the same lens and film combination once you've found one you like, so that it kind of creates a theme across your photographs. And I'll use all kinds of tools, be it panoramic photo grabbing, be it time-lapse photo apps, grabbing video, geotagging wherever I go, normally with Gowalla that also goes into Facebook and Foursquare. I will use email primarily on the iPhone to then blog into Posterous, or you could in fact use the Posterous app. I like to live stream using Bambooza. I also obviously record audio using Audioboo. All of these apps are in a single folder entitled Live Blogging and or Life Blogging, and it just means I can easily get to the tools that I need. What do I do? You know, should the iPhone fail? Well, I've got a backup iPhone, my old 3GS, which in an emergency is more than sufficient to do most of the things, albeit a tiny bit slower than the iPhone 4 that is nearly always in my hand. To enhance the audio recording, I tend to drop a spoffle or a mic shield on the end of the phone and hold it upside down when I'm recording, like I am now. And I will also use the iPhone in a battery case. That's really important. If you want your phone to last the entire day, Apple still haven't cracked for heavy users or even your mediocre users to enable the iPhone to be used in a day. Next question, what are its limitations? I've just touched upon that with battery. Definite some battery issues there. Also, it doesn't as yet, I think, give you as good a reception when it comes to signal as other phones I have tried, and I have tried an awful lot of phones, but I don't know, there's something about the quality and the fact that I tend to use Macs elsewhere, that I'm always swayed towards the iPhone. They do make it very easy when it comes to syncing your data across platforms and iTunes for all my media and syncing of stuff. I can't wait for, you know, to be doing stuff properly over the air. I haven't downloaded any beta software in any shape or form. So one limitation, definitely signal strength is not always that cool. And the battery capacity, what are the limitations? I have my iPhone in a case. You will drop your phone. So I do think that it is very fragile, even if it is super, super hardened glass. I know at least three or four friends that have completely obliterated their phones just by dropping them. Is this a cunning plan of Apple's? I hope not. but it, for something that you are holding, using day in, day out, whilst holding other things, it really needs to be robust. Ultimately, it really needs to be waterproof as well. I can't see why, with only, two or three orifices, it should be very easy to waterproof something like an iPhone. But I guess you have to go and buy a new one when you drop it down the toilet. I think that's something that everybody has to do, christen their iPhone at some point down the toilet. Incidentally, if you do that, drop it in a bag of rice. Should dry it out. If you try and take it back, they look with a microscope down into the earphone socket, and they see some pink staining from showing that moisture's got in. So if you've got a cotton bud, drop a bit of bleach down there. That should get rid of the pink. Oh, I didn't say that. Next question. Do I see the iPhone becoming more commonplace in broadcasting circles? I've seen it become more commonplace already in broadcasting circles. I think it was a blog on the Reuters website by Illico that first showed me that journalists were beginning to use mobile phones for documenting in the field. And I was using the phone that appeared in this blog at the time, which was the Nokia N95. And Illico at the time talked about how it was really handy to have a little fold-up Bluetooth keyboard and a tripod, and there's no reason why you can't do your job with the Nokia N95. Heartily agree. It did an incredible job. I still have my Nokia N95, more for prosperity and because it did so many good things for me that I can't seem to let it go. But more and more, I'm seeing journalists actually getting trained to use iPhones and Android phones. iPhones, I don't know. I would always talk about and use an iPhone above every other device, but some organisations, because they have to buy through their IT department, who seems seriously fearful when anybody mentions Apple, and there is this weird kind of almost hate thing going on. They're just tools, man. Don't personify these tools and hate them like you do, because there's no need. Just because you don't necessarily know how Apple works and you may be fearful of showing your own inadequacy as an IT person, doesn't mean you should hate it. So I think a lot of people are held back when it comes to buying and kitting themselves out with particular brands because IT may be scared of doing that. And I don't see why they won't become more commonplace. I think that if the update that is imminent for the iPhone 4 has a, let's say, 3 times better camera, or at least 2 times better camera, then we will see it even more so. I'd love to have the ability to actually capture raw and process raw images within the camera. I'd love to have the ability to shoot at ridiculously low f-stops, although that isn't always applicable with mobile phone cameras. I'd love to be able to shoot in virtual night. I'd love to see a proper lens on the iPhone. They seem to concentrate so much on software when really a camera is just a box with a hole in it, and the quality of the image is going to be very dependent on the glass that you put on the outside. So I'd love to see a great lens. It doesn't necessarily have to be zoomy in any way, especially with, you know, digital zoom being so useless, and nobody should ever use digital zoom, just use your legs and walk closer. But I really think that will just revolutionise its use for documenting, where serious people are suddenly thinking, hang on a second now, I can take this image with a phone and it is indistinguishable from a high-end compact. And of course, I can then do countless things with that, because for some reason, there are a few manufacturers doing it now. The camera companies have been very, very slow. Samsung have been pretty good, I see, and Panasonic are doing it now, but they're so slow in enabling you to share your image from your photographic tool of choice. And if they'd have been a little bit quicker, they could have really cornered some of the market. I, for example, if I want to share stuff from my Fujifilm X100, I have to put an iFi card in there. And same with my heavy-duty pro stuff. So, yeah. And final question, when have you found the iPhone most useful? Really should have read these questions through, shouldn't I? Mainly because I have countless instances that I've found it useful, but most useful, I think when I want to travel light and you want to really bite the bullet, for example, when I went to Africa to document the Kenyan Wildlife Service, I thought, right, I'm gonna go with just the iPhone and the iPad and a solar panel to charge the both. And it was a bit of a gamble for me because I'm used to having a laptop of sorts, but I managed, and it was really, really handy to be travelling with effectively just hand luggage, to be able to throw away most of the heavy stuff that I use, and ultimately to be doing stuff just from my back pocket. Another example would be the Land's End to John O'Groats trip I did for Vodafone, the freebies trip, whereby I pretty much did everything through the iPhone, and I took some external chunky lithium-ion batteries because I was travelling Land's End to John O'Groats and can't rely on solar because we don't have much sun around here. And it was incredibly useful because it was always in my pocket. It was always handy. And whilst I was on the move, you know, in a car, confined spaces, walking, I could still blog, document, report, share on the hoof. So there's two instances for you. Cool. I do like the iPhone. A little bit worried about Apple and their direction, not just because of Steve Jobs, the incredible man that he is, has left, but because, I don't know, there seems to be a sterilization of the web through the wonderful apps that I so much appreciate, sometimes being the only option. I'd love to see Apple come out with, you know, some unofficially official statement saying, we don't mind if you jailbreak, you know, your warranty will be void, but we're not going to actively try and clamp stuff down, because ultimately there are some incredible people out there doing wonderful, innovative stuff that we should be allowed to upload into what is effectively a computer in our hand now, and everything's being closed down. So that would fit into another limiting factor. You know, how wonderful would it be to have some kind of open source ability with what is a pretty impressive bit of hardware? Okay, that is more than enough. How long have I talked? Too long. Bye-bye.